I surrendered to preach in 2012 under the leadership of Pastor Dwayne Dillard at Beulah Baptist Church in Meadowview, Virginia.
I am Denny. This is my wife, Melissa. We have been married for 23 years.
This is our oldest daughter, Danielle. This is our next to the oldest daughter, Emily. And this is our youngest daughter, Faith. We have been serving with Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples since June 2014. The Lord has burdened our hearts to minister to the homeless, poor and needy in the smaller communities in the United States.
Our prayer is to plant homeless missions in the smaller communities. We work with churches throughout America to start ministries to the poor and the needy. We go out and minister to those who are living in homeless camps out in the woods, under bridges, on the streets. We also do homeless revivals. We also work with Unsheltered International to do research. Resource clinics here in America, as well as a local jail ministry.
Here are some reasons for homelessness. Poor people are frequently unable to pay for housing, food, childcare, healthcare, and education. They're often forced to make decisions when money is not available to cover only some of the necessities. Because housing is the most expensive, they often eliminate that expense. According to the United States Census Bureau, in 2016, the poverty rate in the U.S. was 12.7%. 40.6 million people lived in poverty. 40.6 million people are one accident, one sickness, or one paycheck away from homelessness. Why is homelessness such an issue in America? After all, we are a blessed nation who has always been blessed with money and available resources. However, lack of employment opportunities, decline in available public assistance, lack of affordable health care, domestic violence, mental illness, and addiction are the reasons for homelessness. America does not have the opportunities it once had for people in need. Here are a few facts about homelessness. According to the 2017 Annual Homeless Assessment Report to Congress by HUD, 66.7% of homeless in America are individuals and 33% are family households. 34% were found in unsheltered locations such as bridges, on park benches, in their cars, or on the streets, while the majority did seek shelter in residential or transitional programs. 40,056, 7.2% of homeless are veterans, and 40,799, 7.4% are unaccompanied children and young adults. Homelessness is more seen in urban areas. The people are more numerous and more visible, so they're more easily counted. In rural areas, are substantially undercounted due to the lack of rural service sites. The odds of the poor are between 1.2 to 2.3 times higher for people in non-metropolitan areas than in metropolitan areas. One in five non-metropolitan counties is classified as a high poverty county, having a poverty rate of 20% or higher, while one in 20 metro counties are defined as such.
Our objective is to plant homeless missions in smaller communities starting in the Washington County, Virginia area. So many times those who are homeless in the smaller communities have nowhere to go. Therefore, they are forced to sleep in cars, under bridges, in the woods, or on park benches.
And the Lord said unto the servants, Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. So we go to the highways, and we go to the hedges to share the love of Jesus Christ with the less fortunate. So that they'll The resource clinic is where we set up. We have preaching, we have free food, Bibles, reading glasses, haircuts, medical exams, birth certificates, resumes, clothing, different types of resources, with our ultimate goal being to see souls saved. Forgotten people, see them
forgotten people, see them everywhere.
How can you help us?
To help you can.
Most importantly,
tell
pray for us.
You want to share. None too great.
Prayerfully consider supporting our family as a church or an individual.
Jesus said to
if you feel led by the Lord to support us monthly, you can. Send your tax-deductible donations to Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples, Post Office Box 37043, Jacksonville, Florida, 32236. Thank you for your support. We look forward to serving the Lord with you. You will be in our prayers.
Mitchell, would you come share God's word with us?
Appreciate you, brother. I'd like to say hello to everybody again. I'd like to say it's good to be out in the Lord's house, and excited to see what God's got in store for us. But for the ones of you that wasn't here, I'm Brother Denny, and of course, this is my family. We're missionaries to the homeless. We've been blessed. The resource clinics, we had seven of those last year, and I think we got seven scheduled this year in six different states. And we've also been doing the homeless revivals now, something that we started doing where we bus people in for a three-day meeting in a church or a tent meeting or somewhere. But our ultimate goal is not just to go out and hand out supplies, but it's to see souls saved and to see those people serving God inside a local church. There's a lot of ministries today that are going out, and they got good intentions of giving out supplies, you know, and we can go to any city in America and hand out supplies, but if they don't have a local church to go to, what's it going to help? So our main goal is to get the poor and needy off the street back into God's house. But I just want to thank the church for everything y'all have done for us. I want to say it's good to be here in God's house, and I'm just excited to see what God's got in store for us. But we're going to start today in the book of Luke again. We're going back to chapter 10 and verse 20, and I'm going to read one verse there, and then we're going to skip around quite a bit. But before we get started today, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, it's come to you once again today. Lord, just want to thank you for the great honor and privilege to be in your house here today. Lord, I want to thank you for the great spirit we've already felt. And Lord, I just pray today, Lord, as I try to preach here today, Lord, I just pray you use me, Lord, as a willing vessel for your glory. Lord, be a help to this congregation. Lord, I pray for that one sitting in our midst. Lord, if there's one sitting here lost, doesn't know Jesus Christ, headed to a place called hell today, Lord, I just pray today be the day you put a conviction in their heart. Lord, I just pray they won't be able to stand it no more till they come to know you as Lord and Savior. We just want to thank you today, Lord, for all your many blessings. Most of all, thank you for that blood today, Lord, that's still saving old sinners. I'm so glad, Lord, I don't have to worry about dying and going to hell. You've been so good to us. We love you so much today. We want to welcome you into the service, and we just ask you to please have your way here today. We ask you all these things in the name above every name. Sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. But Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, the Bible says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You know, today I want to ask you a very simple question today. Can you really, truly rejoice today in saying that you know that your name is written in heaven? You say, what are you talking about? Well, we're living in a day to where everybody you talk to says they're saved. Everybody's going to heaven. Nobody's going to hell, you know. You know, a lot of times we go out on the streets and I'll ask people, I'll say, do you know, if out of shadow of a doubt, that if anything happens that you're going to heaven? And what I hear most of the time, people look at you and they'll say, well, preacher, I sure hope so. And every once in a while, somebody will look at you and they'll say, preacher, you know, I think so, but I'm going to tell you today, Hope so salvation ain't good enough. Think so salvation ain't good enough. Every once in a while I'll say, do you know you're going to heaven? Somebody will look at me and they'll say, preacher, I know so. I'm going to tell you today, it takes no so salvation. It's hope so, think so, ain't going to make it. You say, well, what are you talking about? I'm going to tell you today, if you've been born again and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then there'll be a spot that you can go back to where Jesus saved your soul and there was a change that took place. Today, we got too many people today going through a routine. It ain't about a routine. You say, what are you talking about? Well, I'll ask them, I'll say, well, how are you going to get to heaven? And they'll look at you and they'll say, well, preacher. They'll say, I quit drinking. They'll say, I quit doing drugs. They'll say, hey, I've been going to church. And hey, all those things are great. But you realize you can go to every church in the county and die and go to hell? They'll say, hey, preacher, baptized four times. Hey, that's great, but let me tell you, the water don't save you. It takes the blood of Jesus. But you know what's wrong with all those answers? They all start with I. They all start with I. You say, what are you talking about? I can't save myself. I can't save myself and I can't keep myself. I'm going to tell you today, we're living in a day to where there's so many people today that are counting on being good to heaven. They're counting on their good outweighing their bad. And let me tell you today, it ain't got anything to do with that. Right. Talking about Romans 3 in verse 10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. She said, what are you saying, preacher? We're all a bunch of sinners deserving hell. There's none of us good. We all deserve hell. She said, well, what do we do? Very simple. Word of God tells us over in John chapter 3, Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. And then he goes on, he said, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Every single one of us was born of a woman into the flesh. But has there been a time you were born into the spirit? Do you have a time nailed down you can go back to where Jesus saved your soul? You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, over in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, very familiar scripture. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. That word grace, that means love. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus loved us so much, He took our beating up on that old rugged cross. We deserve that beating, but Jesus took it. We're saved by grace through faith. I've never saw Jesus with these physical eyes, but I saw Him through the eyes of faith. And I've got a spot nailed down where He saved me. I saw Him through the eyes of faith. We're saved by grace through faith. It says, not of works. You say, why do you keep saying that there's so many people today that are counting on works? Lest any man should boast. You know, let me tell you a little bit about my testimony. I'm going to stop right there and tell you a little bit about how I was raised. You know, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. But I had a grandma once in a while. She'd come by and take us to church when I was a little kid. And we started going to church. Or she took us a time or two. And I was about 10 or 11 years old. I was sitting there one night. And my sister walked up. And she tapped me on the shoulder. She said, brother, she said, you want to get saved? I said, what's that mean? She said, well, you don't have to go to hell. And I thought, well, sure, who wouldn't do that? So I got up at night and I walked up out, and the preacher laid his hands on me. The preacher said, you're saved, everything's all right. Church crowd said, you're saved, everything's okay. So I grew up believing everything was all right because I went through a routine as a young child. But my wife and I, we got married, had a couple of kids. And I had enough sense to know them kids need to be in God's house. So we started going to church and we fell into this religion. And we started going to the wrong kind of church. But we fell in religious crowds, started carrying a Bible under my arm. Started going to church on Sunday, started going to church on Wednesday. Every time the doors was open, we was there in the church. We was loyal to God's house. Went back to church for 11 years, every service, but there was still something missing. You say, what are you talking about? I could go to church and I could sing, oh, how I love Jesus, and then go out and live like the rest of the world. Well, then I started Baptist, and I started hearing the preacher preach the Word of God. And I started hearing him preach, remembering the spot where Jesus saved your soul. And I heard 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I went back to that day, that little boy walked the aisle, and I realized they wouldn't know change that took place. I realized I didn't have any idea what they was talking about. It was just a routine. I'm telling you, in America today, we got too many people going through a routine. It ain't about a routine. It's about a birth. There has to be a change that takes place. If you didn't change, you didn't get the right thing. But today, too many people are coming in, walking up and going out the door just as lost as they was when they come in. But the devil, he had blinders on my eyes for all those years. I thought I was all right. Because the preacher said so, I thought I was saved. But then we started going to the wrong kind of church, I told you. And at this church we was going to, the preacher, he'd get up and he'd say, well, he'd preach that you're saved today. But then he'd say, you go do something wrong, you're going to die and go to hell. Let me tell you today, I'm saved through the blood and I'm kept through the blood. I'm going to tell you today, if you believe today that you're saved today and you go out here and do something wrong, you're going to die and go to hell. Then let me tell you, your faith is not in the blood of Jesus. Your faith is in your good works of you being good enough to get to heaven. But he's preaching that stuff and I'd go up to the altar and I'd say, Lord, I'll try to quit doing this and I'll try to live like this. And I had to realize I can't do it. It ain't about I, it's about He. It's all about Jesus. There's not anything I can do to save myself or to keep myself. And you say, why do you preach on that? I'm going to tell you, because I was a lost church member. Here I was, 37 years old, headed to a place called hell. I started hearing the Word of God. I got under conviction. And that old devil, he said, don't get up. The pastor thinks you're saved. Your family thinks you're saved. The church thinks you're saved. Somebody's going to laugh at you. Somebody's going to say something. Let me tell you something. That old pride's of the devil. I sat there, I was so miserable because I knew Jesus up here. But I didn't know Him here. There's a lot of people today that they can quote the Scriptures and they know Him up here. But I'm going to tell you, you got to know Him in your heart. You got to know Jesus Christ in your heart. I'm going to tell you, head knowledge ain't no good. But here I was. I'd go home at night. I'd wake up. See a little light in the sky and it scared me to death. I was so afraid Jesus was coming back and I was going to be left behind. I'd wake up sweating, afraid my heart was going to stop and I was going to die and go to hell. But I wouldn't get up out of that church pew. That pride had a grip on me. Finally, I heard. I sat there through many services, but I heard this having a tent meeting down at Victory Baptist there in Bristol, Virginia. And I thought, all right, I'm a lost church member. So I can go down to Victory and get saved. Won't have to tell nobody. I had a plan all worked out. So I went down to Victory and I walked in there and I sat down in a metal chair. And about 5 minutes after I sat down, my pastor walked in and sat in front of me. And the old devil jumped up on my back and he said, you can't get saved now. Your pastor's here. You're going to hurt his feelings. You're going to disappoint him. But I was so miserable, I couldn't take it anymore. And I reached over and I grabbed my pastor. I said, Brother Dwayne, I said, I'm lost on my way to hell. And he jumped up out of his seat. He said, praise the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, I went down and I hit the ground a dead man. And I come up alive, man. I'm on my way to heaven. And I'm going to tell you, I got a spot in that field where Jesus saved my soul. It was a birth. There was a change that took place. Today, I want to ask you, where's your spot? You say, why do you keep saying that? Because I'm going to tell you. I was a lost church member. My pastor was a Sunday school superintendent. He was raised in a Baptist church his entire life. Was a Sunday school superintendent of a Baptist church there in Abingdon, Virginia. A missionary come by one night. My pastor got saved. Treasurer of the church got saved. A lot of people in position in that church got saved that night. You know, the last few years we've been traveling through America. We've seen somewhere around 700 souls saved. I ain't bragging on us. We're bragging on God and what God's been doing. But I'm going to tell you today, you know where we've seen a lot of souls saved? In the church pew. You're saying, what are you talking about? We was up in Maryland, Rising Sun, Maryland. There was a lady up there in that church. One of the hardest workers they had. Everything the church was doing, she was involved in it. She was right behind it. But you know what her problem was? Her mom and dad took her to that same church ever since the day she was born. She couldn't never remember a time that she'd been out of church. But you know what? She couldn't ever remember a time she saw herself a lost sinner headed to hell. She couldn't ever remember being lost. Let me tell you, you got to be lost before you can be found. There's going to be a time that you saw yourself a lost sinner and asked Jesus Christ into your heart. She come up, she asked the Lord into her heart. Same thing over in Pennington Gap. We had a lady over there who had been going to church her whole life saved. We saw a piano player saved. We saw a music director's wife saved. Brother Leonard Fletcher, pastor friend over in Mountain City, Tennessee, the Trade, Tennessee. He was preaching a revival up in our area. There was a man came forth, had been a church member for over 50 years. Came up and asked Jesus into his heart. So I want to ask you today, do you know that you know that you know? I mean, once we're saved, I ain't trying to confuse you. Once we're saved, we're as good as ever. There's nothing can take that salvation. Nothing can take the salvation. Devil may take our testimony. He cannot take our salvation. But we got to know that we're born again. Not hope so, not think so. We're living in a day to where everybody's saved. You say, what are you talking about? Well, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with the sons. For what son is him the father chastiseth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all partakers, then your bastards are not sons. So you're saying, what are you saying, preacher? If you can go out here today and live any way you want to live, there's something wrong with that kind of salvation. We're living in a day, you go here and you tell somebody about Jesus. And they're a lot like I was. You know, they've been shacked up, living together for 20 or 30 years, drinking, doing drugs, all these things of the world. You'll talk to them about Jesus. Oh yeah, preacher, I got saved when I was 8 years old. Well, I'm going to tell you something wrong with that salvation. I realize today that we're not above sin. I realize today that we can get outside of God's will. And we can backslide, but let me tell you, we went over that story this morning of that prodigal son, and I'm going to tell you today, if you've been born again, then you're going to be miserable if you get outside of God's will. You can't live outside of God's will and live a happy life. But today, we're living in a day to where everybody's saved, but yet they glorify sin. I think about these ones out there on Facebook and stuff today. I got people out there I've seen that they're so proud of being gay and so proud of being homosexual, but they're a Christian. I'm going to tell you today, if you're a Christian, you're not going to glorify sin. You're going to be miserable. But we're living, everybody thinks everything's all right and everybody's going to heaven. I'm going to tell you, you must be born again. You ain't going if you ain't born again. Hope so, think so. That ain't going to get it. But we're living in an easy believism. Everybody's saved. Everybody's on their way to heaven. I'm going to tell you, if the blood's not applied, you're not going to go. So I want to ask you, if I was to see you on the street and ask you that question, are you going to heaven? What would you say? Hope so, think so, or no so? Hope so and think so ain't going to make it. You say, why do you keep saying that? Well, I remember the old devil. Preacher used to come in and preach something like this in the church, and that old devil, he'd say, that man's crazy. He'd say, nobody can know for sure that they're going to heaven. You know, that's what I used to believe when I was counting on my works to get to heaven. Old devil say, nobody can know for sure without a shadow of a doubt that they're going to heaven. They ain't going to know until they take the last breath. That's what the devil used to tell me. Well, you know what? My Bible teaches different. My Bible teaches me that I can know 100% without a shadow of a doubt. You say, what are you talking about? Well, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. It don't say that you could have eternal life. It don't say that you might have eternal life, that you may know that you have eternal life. You know, today I'm so thankful today. I don't know much, but I do know without a shadow of a doubt that I got a spot where Jesus saved my soul. I do know that today. Maybe you're sitting here and you say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know who's saved. I don't know who's lost. I pray that everybody in here is saved. But let me ask you, today, if you say you know Jesus, what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Every one of us has got somebody that's lost, dying, and going to hell. You say, what do you mean? Well, Romans 10 and 10, we all know this for heart, says, for the heart, man, believing in righteousness, the mouth's confession made salvation. But listen to verse 11 right after that. It says, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. So let me ask you today, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you got a spot nailed down where Jesus saved your soul, are you ashamed of Him? You know, today we live in a day where everybody says no, but let me ask you this. When was the last time outside the four walls of the church you told somebody about Jesus? When was the last time? I'm going to tell you today, we're living in a day to where everybody's so worried about being politically correct. I'm going to tell you today, we need to be biblically correct. We need to worry about what's going on out there. You say, what are you talking about? Today, nobody will mention Jesus. We got friends out there today. We got co-workers that are dying and going to hell that we'd give them the shirt off our back. But we won't tell them about Jesus. You know, I'll never forget my last secular job. I got in trouble. I didn't know that it was illegal to hang sheetrock and sing Amazing Grace. They took me in the office. They said, hey, that's against the law. You're not allowed to do that. They said, look, you're not allowed to mention the name of Jesus on this job. So that's not allowed. Well, you know, I work with a lot of Baptists. You know what the Baptists do? They go over there and they say, well, we're going to have to be quiet or we're going to get in trouble. You know what I said? I'm going to keep on breaking the law. I ain't ashamed of my Lord and Savior. I ain't ashamed to tell somebody about Jesus. But I'm going to tell you today, we need to be telling somebody about Jesus. If we ain't ashamed of Him, we'll tell somebody. You know, I remember a time when I was a boy, when I was a little kid. Like I say, I wasn't raised at home, but my grandpa was a Christian man. And I remember going to the store with him. And you could tell the ones that were saved and the ones that was lost by the way they talk, by the way they act. Today, it ought to be that way today. Today, we're so worried about satisfying man. We're so worried about fitting in. We ought to be worried about Jesus. But first of all, you got to know that spot. And then, another thing. If you say, I know Jesus, I've been born again. Let me ask you this. Do you have joy? Do you have joy in your salvation? You say, what are you talking about? Isaiah verse 12, or chapter 12 and verse 2 says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. You know, today it ought to be a joy to serve God. It ought to be a joy to serve the Lord, to be in God's house. Ain't nowhere I'd rather be this morning than in God's house around God's people. You say, what are you talking about? I'm going to tell you today. A lot of times we make church something that we have to do. I remember making them comments, and I say, well, I got to go to church tonight. Let me tell you something. I don't got to go to church. I get to go to church. It's the greatest place in the world to be around God's people. I'm going to tell you today, this ought to be the most exciting place that there is. But I'm going to tell you today, we wonder what's wrong with America today. We wonder today why we're not seeing the move of God that we once seen. We wonder today why we're not seeing the soul saved that we once seen. Because I'm going to tell you today that we got everything else in the way of serving God. And it's not a joy to serve God. You're saying, what are you talking about? We put the things of the world first. You know, I think about up there in our area. We got that Bristol racetrack up there. There, 2 or 3 years ago, we had the biggest football game ever. 160-some thousand fans, Virginia Tech and Tennessee game. That's all you heard about was that ball game. That comes town, that's all you hear about is that ball game. Or that race, that's all you hear about. Don't get me wrong, ain't nothing wrong. I ain't preaching against sports or racing or whatever. But here's the thing, we got all them people that'll go down there. I'm talking about the church people. We'll go down there to that ball game, and they'll go down there to that race car, and they'll stand up and down, and they'll holler, and they'll shout at that race car going around. Get so excited. And then they go to God's house. Go into God's house. And like they're sitting in a morgue. Let me tell you today, this ought to be the most exciting place in God's house. Ought to be more exciting than anything the world's got. But I'm going to tell you today, we get more excited about what's going on out there than what's going on in here. I get excited today when I hear about a soul saved. You know, we was down to jail a few weeks ago. We had 9 souls saved. And I'll never forget. I called my pastor and told him. I called my friends and tell them. But then you go out of town and run into a local church member. And you'll say, praise God, we had 9 souls saved. 9 more are not going to hell. And you'll be excited. And they'll look at you and say, that's good. Hey, you seen sale at Walmart? That's as excited as a church crowd gets. We need joy back in our churches. I believe our joy has been stripped all over America in our churches. So why is that? We need to come in here and focus on serving Jesus. But first of all, you got to know Him. Do you know that spot where Jesus saved your soul? Are you where you need to be? I hear people everywhere I go, they'll say, preacher, I ain't as close to God as I once was. You know, I ain't trying to hurt your feelings, but I'm just being honest. If you're not going forward, then you're going backwards. If you're not growing in Christ, then you're going the wrong way. And the only person that can change that's you. I don't know what you're facing today, what you're going through. But I'm going to tell you where you can find answers through Jesus. Every one of us in here today has got somebody that's dying and going to hell. When was the last time we really truly had a burden for that lost one that's dying and going to hell? You say, well, what are you talking about? We go to church and we say, well, remember my son, remember my daughter. Then we go home, put our Bible up on the shelf. Don't pray all week. Don't study the Word of God. We go to church the next Sunday, same routine. Remember my son, remember my daughter. When was the last time you gathered around our altar and cried out to God for that one that was dying and going to hell? When was the last time you got along in that secret place, the tears rolled down your face for that one that's dying and going to hell? You know, today we go to churches all over America. You hardly ever see anybody gather around the altars anymore. Let me tell you, when the altar dries up, a church dries up. That's where you find help, is around the altar. But today, first of all, are you where you need to be? In order to be there, you got to be born. In order to experience this joy I'm talking about, you must know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never experienced that. Wouldn't today be a great day? Wouldn't today be a great day? You know, I remember being out there in the world and trying to fill that void of my life with the things of this world. You know, today there's a lot of people trying to fill that void with alcohol. They'll just want another drink. A lot of people trying to fill up drugs. They'll want a drug. Whatever it is today, that void will never be filled. You'll never experience happiness until you fill that void with Jesus. Today, do you know Him? Second of all, are you serving Him? Are you excited about serving Jesus? Or has it become a routine? Has it become a burden? Because I'm going to tell you today, I don't want it to ever become a burden. I want to serve Jesus till the day I die. I want to be doing His will. And I want to see others saved. You know, I don't understand today how anybody could be saved and not have a desire to see another soul saved. But we're living in a day where everybody's saved, but they don't seem to have no interest in seeing another soul saved. There's something wrong with that. But today, I don't know you today, but I love every single one of you. And I know it's a little different today, but I'd just like to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes a minute. And I'd like to ask Melissa to come up and play something on the piano there. And as she comes up, I'd just like to ask you today to go back to that day, that spot that you know without a shadow of a doubt Jesus saved your soul. If you're sitting here today and you say, "Preacher, I don't know 100% without a shadow of a doubt that I've been born again. I'm not going to come to you, embarrass you, or call you out. But I want to pray for you." Is there anybody at all that would just be honest and just slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me"? Anybody, would you? Thank you. Anybody else, just be honest. Thank you. Several hands up. You know, the pastor's up here today, and I'm sure somebody would love to take the Word of God and show you how to ask Jesus into your heart. Is there anybody today that would be willing to take that first step and to meet the pastor or somebody up here and let them open the Word of God? Put that pride to the side. You can go out here today knowing without a shadow of a doubt when you peel that head, you got eternal life. As she plays today, if the Lord's dealing with you, please just come up, meet one of us. Or maybe you're sitting here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm not where I need to be. I just want to gather around the altar and ask God to help me. I want that closer walk." Or maybe you just want to come pray for that family member. Whatever the need is today, won't you lay that burden down at the feet of Jesus? Don't carry it around no more. He's able. Whatever you're facing, He's able to help. Like I say, I love you today. For these hands that went up, I'm going to be praying for you. But I beg you, don't leave this church without seeing somebody and getting that settled.
Let's have a word of prayer together. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the challenge that's been given to us today. Lord, and I know that You've spoken to hearts. Pray, God, that You would help us. Most of us know exactly what You want us to do. Dear Lord, I pray that we would submit. We would do Your will. Make that decision. Surrender that area.